never honestly felt such a blockage to preach on something as I had about this. And there's a million other sermons online, and I've been studying this since back in New Hope Sisters, Hope Inspired Sisters at the start of the year, because we started on this, okay? And it's like a labyrinth, really. You know, when you start looking at the Word of God, it can take you off on a million different trails. And so I encourage you, friends, do you know that we have treasure available to us 24/7 in this book? In this book. And most of us never open it. And I know it seems like we go on about this, but this is where treasure is. Treasure lies in here. Treasure beyond measure. And you know, I wish I could be like Hillsong and have enough money to do props. Because if I did, I would have on the stage here a prop. Can you use your imagination for a little while? I would have a prop up here that was like a forest filled with trees and flowers and all beautiful things. And on this side of the stage, I'd have a desert that's dry and thirsty. Over here would be streams and rivers and flowers and everything beautiful that your mind loves to see. You know, the ocean. Wonder if I could put that on a stage. But anyway, you get where I'm going from. This is that. In here is that. Without this, you've got the desert. And I just want to encourage you that as I've been studying about Proverbs 31, which I have for a long time, and I'm not even going to be able to impart to you even part of what the Lord's shown me through this. So I had to bring it back. And I said, Lord, I find this. In fact, on Friday, I said to Matt, I just want to throw everything out the window that I've even thought about, that I've worked on. And he goes, oh, honey, really? And I said, yeah, because it's just so hard. But you know, one thing I wanted to say too is when you get a revelation of the battle that we're waging when we teach God's word. Do you know there's a battle? You know, the world doesn't want to know the truth. And at the moment, we have got gender wars happening, don't we? People saying, you're not neither male or female, you can be whatever you want to be. I mean, really? And then we have our own luggage, our own baggage that we bring to the table. And you know, dearest ones, we are part of fallen humanity, aren't we? And we can distort the truth. That's why we need one another. Because I can go off on the wrong tangent. You'll need to correct me. That's what we're all here for. So I just want to say that this is beauty. This is beauty. Imagine, keep imagining that, will you, with your imagination. That's another thing. We've forgotten to be people of imagination, people that are creative. We've still got it, but God wants to bring it out. And Proverbs 31 is really what that's all about. You know, many people see the Bible's view of femininity as somehow repressive and oppressive. But can I tell you that that's a total and utter lie? From the seed of hell. In fact, the Proverbs 31 is just one example of a powerhouse of a woman. And you're going to learn about that today. The world pushes the lie and we start agreeing with it. Yeah? But we have got to have the mind of Christ. Yeah? The Bible teaches truth and we must seek the truth with all of our hearts and minds, even if it means that we're misunderstood, even if it means that we're persecuted. We must share the truth of God's word. And I'll tell you that for over 13 years of ministering, it's not all tea and cupcakes. It's not all tea and cupcakes, but I could never, ever assume a different position because I didn't actually give myself this position. The Lord gave it to me. And the Lord's positioning all of you. The Lord has a position for everyone. And we must assume our position because you know what? There's no better place to be than in the Lord's position. And this King of ours, he's coming. He's coming for his bride, and will we be ready? This bride, Proverbs 31, she's a beautiful bride, prepared. But will we be found faithful? I believe with a little self-reflection we will. And so as we embark on 2019, we can do it really afresh. And every day is an opportunity to either live here in the forest of abundance or to live in, and you know what? I will get on with the sermon soon, but you know what? Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit, yes, but we have to choose. We have to choose what we will choose. It's up to us. And you know what? I'm actually kind of, please hear me when I say this. I'm tired of hearing every second prophetic word that comes out, you know. There's going to be deliverance and breakthrough. You know what? That's already here. God's waiting for his people. Nothing's going to change, friends. It starts with us. We're the catalyst. God's done everything. Amen. Hasn't he? What more can he do? He's saying, come on, people. Come on, my people. Stand up. Rise up. Be people of valor. Be people of valor. Be people that walk in the anointing, people that walk in the power of God. Be that. He can't give any more power to us. He's given it all through his son Jesus. When we step into Jesus, we've got everything we need. Anyway, that's just getting some anxiety off my chest. All right, so let's pray. Father God, we praise you and we worship you and we adore you and we thank you, Lord, that you have made every single person here. You thought of them before they were even born, they were even conceived in their mother's womb. And Lord, I pray for your spirit of truth and wisdom to invade their minds and hearts today. Father, we pray that we would be a people that have a culture of you, a culture of heaven. And so, Father, will you set us on fire today with your heart, with your mind, with your spirit. Fill us afresh, God, we pray in Jesus' name. So I named this sermon, The Culture of Our Life Will Determine the Legacy That We Leave. And, you know, Proverbs 31 may not be what you think. It's actually about legacy. All of Proverbs is. All of Proverbs is continually asked the question, what will you choose? What way will you walk? And the Proverbs 31 can be viewed as a list of tasks about a seemingly perfect woman that perhaps seems almost impossible to live up to. But the beauty, the absolute beauty of this text is that it's really not a list of you must do's to a woman, but rather a prophetic poem, an utterance of prophetic word about the kind of woman and men and church that we can be. And the kind of woman that will bless her life. You know that King Solomon was thought of before David and Bathsheba thought of him. The Lord told David that you'll have a son and he will be the one that build the temple. Because David wanted to be the one that would build the temple, but the Lord said, no, it won't be you. And I'm not going to go into that story, but please, will you read this and read the story of David, Bathsheba and Solomon. But sometimes when we look at Proverbs 31, I've heard it done, that we kind of reduce womanhood in some ways, when really the passage is about character that leads to legacy. And you know, it transcends both gender and circumstance. And it's not about your role, but about what you do with it. It's about the heart of why you do something. You know, the kind of character that would leave a legacy, King Lemuel's mother taught him this poem. He was taught it, and we're going to look at it more soon. But as a king, he had a chance to choose the way he would go, and he could leave a legacy and make good decisions. He could make admirable choices that bear fruit. And this is the kind of abundant fruit that would last for generations. And we know that it has because we've got it in our hands still today. And as parents, you know I can do so much. And then the rest and the test is left to the children that I have to grow up and make the way straight for their lives. And today, as a mom in this house, I'm calling you up. I'm, I'm speaking Proverbs 31 over you and asking, will you receive the blessing? Will you receive the blessing, the prophetic blessing of Proverbs 31 in your heart? The King James Version tells us that the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, can I just pause there for a second because of two things. I don't know who King Lemuel is. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I have no idea of who he is. But I'm struck by the actual lack of information there is about him. But some scholars believe that, just going back, that name actually means devoted to God, and it's a name that the Hebrew people would use for babies. And it's believed, but not fully known. I couldn't stand here and say with 100% certainty that it is Solomon, but I believe there's a tinge that it could be. That it could be Solomon, and that Bathsheba is the inspiration behind the text. And the reason I feel this has a tinge of truth is because this is another really interesting fact. See, when you study your Bible, you find all these amazing facts out. Is that he's referred in one translation of the Bible as King Lemuel of Massa. Now, Massa in Hebrew, it means prophecy. It means a burden carried or lifted up. And the reason, It's basically a word that burns within the hearts of the prophets until it's expressed at the proper time. And I thought how stunning that was, just in light of the story of King David and Bathsheba, and the sins that they committed. And this is kind of a redemption, yeah, that she speaks out to her son and says, son, live this way. This is how a king should live. And I just really thought that was beautiful, so I just wanted to share that. But aren't the scriptures fascinating? You can also go on these amazing journeys. But so here we have a prophetic picture, and I am getting to the script soon. But I guess what I really wanted to do was say that, when was I going to do the song, honey? Yeah, I suppose I'm going to get to it. What I really want to say to all of us today, the heart behind it is that God wants you. There's a legacy in you. There's a legacy for you to leave. There's a legacy in all of us. And this prophetic word over a king then is the same prophetic word the Lord would speak to us today, that he wants us to leave a legacy. And I just wanted to play a clip because this song means so much to me, and I do cry when I listen to it. But I just want to have it sung over you, and then I'll get right into the script, yeah? So listen. And watch.
I don't mind if you got something nice to say about me. I enjoy an accolade like the rest. And you could take my picture and hang it in a gallery of all the who's who's and so and so's that used to be the best at such and such. Thank you.
see. What kind of legacy are we going to leave? Tell me. You guys tell me. We don't get a second chance at life. We get one go. We don't get a dress rehearsal. The Lord says, choose this day whom you will serve. You know, when we serve our King with all of our hearts, we leave a blessing. We leave a legacy. I ask you all today, what legacy will you leave? You know what? It's a quick journey to death. You know what? I'm 50 now, an old woman. I got to 50 quickly. It happens fast. And you know what? Every single moment counts. Every single moment counts. And in this picture, a mother is speaking to her son. And she is urging her son. She's speaking life over him. And today, I want to speak life over you. You're amazing. You're incredible. You are a royal priesthood. Are you? Are you a royal priesthood? Yes, that's who you are. And this is the words of King Lemuel's mother, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth. Judge righteously and plead the case of the poor and needy. I don't apologize for my tears because it's an anointed thing. This is a mother's heart to her children. This is my heart for you as children of the Lord. She gives him wise instruction. She is the mother of this son, and she says to him, I've devoted you to the Lord. And she continues to teach him. In fact, this was taught as a poem to be memorized, and it was to be preserved as it has been. And you know what? We're to do the same, we're to leave a legacy to our children. We're to leave a legacy to our friends and our family. I often hear my parents' wisdom. Do you? Speaking to me when I speak to my children. I hear my father's voice when I'm saying something to my children. I hear my mother's heart when I'm saying something to my children. Is that true of all of us? Those things we've been taught come back. And it says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it's our duty, it's our shift. We need to build something, yeah, for the generations to come. So what does she have to say to this son of hers? She says, what shall I say to you? What wisdom will I pass on to you, my son, whom I've dedicated to the Lord and whom I love? And she repeats it because she's wanting him to hear very clearly what she has to say to him. And whenever we hear words repeated in Scripture, it also means we should prick our ears up and listen closely. And firstly, she warns him about women. She uses it in plural, women. She's saying, do not be promiscuous, sexually promiscuous, Lemuel, because this will bring you down. And I've got my stories to tell. I've lived that life. You know what? I was sexually promiscuous in my life. Was I blessed? Did it bring a blessing to me? No. It just brought sorrow and heartache and pain that didn't just last for the moment, that lasted for a long, long time. And you know what? That is why the Lord says, do not sin. Because you know why? People get hurt. People get hurt. I get hurt. They get hurt. I love Nikki Gumbel says in Alpha, he goes, you know, when two people are joined together, it's like gluing two pieces of cardboard together. You know, when that gets ripped apart, there's something left behind, isn't there? There's some remnant, and it's painful. And so the Lord's pretty clear about why we're not to sin. He's not a party pooper. He loves the oneness of marriage. And also, the other reason that she warns him against women is because sometimes we can have bad influences in our lives, yeah? Has anyone ever had a bad influence as a friend in their life? I don't know. I have. But you know, he says, stay away from these women because they will bring in pagan gods. And that's exactly what happened to Solomon. And his story carries on. Solomon went from wisdom to disaster. So even Solomon himself didn't live in this forest of blessing. He went wayward. And the Lord's warning us, please know, let's know the culture that we live in. I have a homeschooling story. You know, culture matters. The culture of our church, the culture of our homes, the culture of what we speak over other people. I want to speak life over you. Am I speaking life? Am I speaking life over you today? That's what we're to do. We're to speak life and love and blessing. But sometimes we get into a culture that's wrong, don't we? And we start speaking down about ourselves, down about others. This is wrong culture. If you've got a problem with a person, you need to go to that person. Not tell every other Tom, Dick and Harry about it. You need to address that person in love and deal with that person directly. But, you know, I love the concept of homeschooling. I wanted to be a homeschooling mum, but anyway, it's a long story why I haven't become that. But I went to a homeschooling conference, and at this conference, one of the mums got up to speak. She was so eloquent. She has 7 children. They live on a farm out past Toowoomba, and she talked. I just fell in love with her. But one thing she said that really impacted me, and I was in tears, which I am a lot, I know, but I was really touched by the Holy Spirit. And she said, when the children are about 4 or 5 years old, the father takes the children to the supermarket. He takes them to Target and Coles, or mostly to the toy section of Kmart or something like that. And what he does is he gets down and they see all the bright lights and all the shiny things. And he says to them, can you hear it? Can you hear it? He whispers, can you hear it? And they go, no, Daddy, we don't hear it. He said, it's saying, buy me. It says, buy me. You got to have me. And they go, oh, yeah, I want this one and that one. They want all of them because that's what the shelves in the supermarkets do, isn't they? What else do you need? You need all these things. That's what the advertisement on TV says. See, this culture says you must have all these things to be happy. And he says to them, you're the influence. You're the influence, not the supermarket. You say, I don't need that stuff. I don't need the next toy, the next device, the next thing, because you are satisfied with what you have. So he's saying to them, you be the influence of culture. Don't let culture be the influence of you. And that's what Solomon's mother's saying to him here. Choose the right culture, Solomon, for your world. And the second warning she gives is kings were the top administrators of justice, so that wine and intoxicating drinks were not going to be a good thing for a king to get into. It seems like that is what kings do. They have lots of parties and festive occasions. But she's saying to Solomon, she's warning him against drinking, because she said, you will lose it a little bit. You'll forget how to administer justice and do things rightly. And back in those days, they didn't have pharmacies to take the headaches away, to make things right again. But I think there's wisdom for us as a royal priesthood that we should be so careful, not just in our culture, what we do with what we purchase and what we do with things like that, but we should also be people that use wisdom when it comes to things that can bring us pain. And you know, friends, I hear a lot of self-sabotage, you know, in people's words. You know, we talk less about ourselves, don't we? You know, we say, oh, you know, I could never do that. No, I don't. It's like, no, you can. This one chapter could bless your life forever. So it says, what will you choose? And finally, she says, speak up, king. And now this one really touches my heart. You saw me getting emotional. It says, she says, king, she's encouraged him to speak up for those that cannot speak for themselves. She's saying, those that are dying and the poor and the needy. And she's saying, what a powerful force for righteousness that this king could be in this. You know, church, we're called to defend the defenseless. We are called to care for the poor, to visit the one in prison, to help the refugee. This is what she's saying to her king, but this is what we're also called to. We need to love the afflicted. It's our call. It's our call as Christians to love those that nobody else loves, to care for those that nobody else loves, cares for. We need to speak out for justice. We need to do what we can. And I just felt as I was preparing for this, and I've said it 20 times already today, but what is your legacy? What's inside of you? What's the burning flame inside your heart that God's called you to do, to be? You know what? I think most of the problems of the world could be solved by the church. But you know what? We've become dependent on the government. Who here is dependent upon the government? Yeah, we need to be dependent on God. The government is not going to solve the problems of this world. The church has all the wisdom. But what are we doing? Everyone's looking blankly at me. I'm maybe not making any sense. We are the abundant forest people. We are the ones with all of the talents and gifts. Where are they? We can be this. We can be dead in the water. We need to stand up for those that cannot stand up for themselves. Yes, we need to be the voice of truth, the voice of wisdom in the marketplace, in the government, everywhere. We can't sit and be complacent any longer. That's what God's saying in 2019. What kind of church are we going to be? You're doing good things, church. You're doing good things. You're making good headway. But there's more. There's always more. But you're not going to achieve it while you're sexually immoral, while you're drunkards, drug addicts, whatever, while you're spending your money on absolute crap, you're not going to win the nation. You got to put it all into Jesus. You know what? I don't have all the answers, but he does. You know, when I sit with him and spend time in his word, I am just wow. Like, God, I need to go and have a coffee for a break, because he's got so much to impart. So much wisdom that he's got for us. And you know, we turn on the television. We're wasting our times, friends. You can sit in abundance. You know what? Kings don't become kings by doing nothing. Kings are activated. Let our faith be activated today. We need the Holy Spirit, but we've got him. If you've asked Jesus to come into your life and invade your person, then you have it. Amen? You've got all that you need. Now, what will we do with our time? I've got so much further to go, and I'm... Now this is the beautiful part, isn't it, you know, the virtuous wife. Oh, Baba Ganoush, am I a virtuous wife? Thank you. See, a husband speaks over his wife beautiful things. I say to all the husbands here, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, and she willingly works with her hands. I'll just pause there. Church, this is about women, but this is also about the church. It's also about the church. So when I read this to you, this is the perfect woman, right? But this is also the perfect church. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar, and she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her family, for her household, and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and she buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. I wanted to wear that today, by the way, but I wasn't prepared. See? Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her own works praise her at the gates. Isn't that the most beautiful utterance you've ever heard? I don't know, I think it is. It's the most beautiful poem that a mother could ever write. And, you know, this proverb in Hebrew is an acrostic, which means that each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, just here is what it is, each alphabet of the Hebrew was used. Like, it's like A, B, C, D, E, to remember. So that's how Solomon could remember it off by heart, because it was taught to him like a song, like a poem in song. And J.A. Motcher describes this feature as a poetic way of saying that a total coverage of the subject has been offered. And other words, this woman is complete. She is complete from A to Z. She is complete in her substance, in her depth, in her strength. And you know that God gave the Torah to Israel through using the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so here he praises Jewish women with every letter of the alphabet. That is absolutely beautiful. And that is how he thinks of each one of us every day. He loves us so much. He sings songs of praise over us. He delights in us. It's beautiful to note also that in this proverb, there's not an argument being built. You know, Paul in Romans, there's lots of arguments happening in Romans, in the book of Romans. But here, oh, did I bring my pearls? In here, Solomon or Lemuel or whoever it may be, he is stringing pearls together, one after the other, in words of praises about this woman. And you know, that is what the Lord does over us. If you seek out, you are pearls to him. He loves you. He sings this song over you. I mean, for the men, don't get uncomfortable about it. It's okay. It's okay to be loved by your king, isn't it? Adored, valued. This is specifically for women, but this is the kind of women that will bless a man, yeah? This is the kind of church that will bless the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, I love so many things about this, but all through the Proverbs, Solomon taught us to speak encouragement to one another. What are the words of encouragement you can speak to another? What are the pearls that you can put on a string to somebody and say, this is for you. This is what I think about you, Pastor Dave. I think you're an amazing, mighty man of God. With a heart full of love for those that are broken. You're a man of valor. Why don't we speak to one another that way? Call one another up. You know what? It's good to be called out, but then, you know, one thing has to happen. We have to receive. Who has a problem with receiving? God wants to heal that today. You want to say, yeah, I am these things because we sing it. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. These are the pearls that the Lord puts around my neck. That's another story. Off the beaten track again. But you know what? I've never received pearls. And one day, I didn't even think about it because I'm not that interested in things, really, truthfully. But I actually, one day, I had a thought. You know, I'd really like a set of pearls. I thought this thought one day, but didn't think another thing of it. Within a week, a visiting pastor from another land, Pastor Bong, came from Myanmar. And he came with a box of pearls. Don't tell me that God doesn't know the desires of our hearts. He does full well. You know, and I treasure these because they're from Pastor Bong, but also too because the Lord gave me these pearls. The Lord gave them to me. And today I show them to you as a sign of his love for you and his calling you up. Like, I want everyone jumping out of their seats with excitement because he loves you so deeply. He wants to hang these and say, this is what I think of you. This is what I think of you. You notice that in verses 1 to 9, the mother's giving warnings about how he shouldn't live. You know, that's over here, yeah? And then she says, live over here, Solomon. Live over here. Yeah, you see the pretty picture in your mind's eye? And now this is my favorite part. In verse 10, we hear, who can find a virtuous woman? Is it all right if I dangle these around just to remind you? Who can find a virtuous woman? And you know what? In Hebrew, the word virtuous isn't really hitting the mark. The word in Hebrew is eshay shayah. Is that up there, guys? Have we got that? This is the Hebrew letters, and that is the name. You know what? An eshay. I can't pronounce it proper Hebrew because they speak with their, you know. I can't do that. But the throaty thing. But that's Carol's interpretation. But I'm sure if we heard the Lord say it, we'd all collapse on the floor. But it means more than just virtuous. It means valor. It means warfare. Yes, it does mean virtue. She is a moral woman. But she's way more than that. She's a woman of strength. She is a woman with courage. She is a brave woman. She is a strong woman. She is a victorious woman. She is not a sit-behind-the-scenes kind of woman. She is strong, courageous. That's the kind of woman she is. She is domesticated because that's where all goodness comes from, being domesticated. We should be honored to be women that are domesticated, that can look after our household and our husband and our children, because that leaves a legacy in them. Yeah? That's a beautiful and honoring thing. God upholds that. Why do you think he puts these pearls around our neck? Because he honors the woman and all that she does for the man. But this is more than just a word. It's a mindset. Can we get that today? If you don't get anything else, please get this. This is a mindset. The Esha Shahir woman is a mindset. She's tenacious. She is gritty. She bears down on a thing. She sees a thing through. Friends, that's what God's asking us. Will we see it through? Whatever's happening in your life, it's not dependent on circumstance. It's not dependent on what your position in life is now. You are this already. If you could see that just for a moment, you are Shahir. You are that. That is who you are. You know what? That in the scriptures, that word Shahir is mentioned over 150 times. And I wish that I had the time to share all of the stories about that with you. But this is referred to as many warriors of faith in the Bible. And when you see those words, Eshay Shahil, you know it's describing a woman that has the capacity to fight. Have we got that picture of that woman up there? But the word, she's gutsy, this woman. You know what? She stands her ground. She stands her ground no matter what. She is victorious even through the tears. You know what? My tears are treasures to God. Do you know what? I have stood in this church for 13 years. It has been tough. You know what? For years we could not make the rent. But you know what? Who was faithful? Who? The Lord God. There's no way that I could write a book about his provision. Don't tell me you've got no money. You know why? Because you don't trust in the one that has the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns everything. He has everything in his hand. You know what? We have stood our ground. That is what this woman does. She, even through the tears, she is victorious. That is the church that God is calling out. He's saying, will you be a victorious bride? Will you? Will you stand when the going gets tough? Will you fight? Will you bear down? Will you be gritty? Or will you give up and say, oh, it's all too hard? You know what, friends? It's not going to get easier. We are fighting our culture wars that are going to rage on. And the church needs to get on her knees. She needs to prophesy this. We need to be prophetic people. We need to speak out the truth of who we are. We are a courageous people. We have a king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Wow! Come on! Can't you hear the mother here cheering on Solomon? I'm cheering you on. There is nothing stopping you, nothing. Today we're going to pray for whatever it is that's stopping you, that you think is stopping you. There's nothing that can stop you. I want to leave a legacy. I do. I want to leave a legacy, and I pray that today that is your heart as well. Let's do something. Men, women, children. I want to stand before God one day just like Nicole Norderman said, and I want to leave a legacy. I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful one. I want to be remembered for good. And will you keep me accountable? You know what? Is that most people talk about Matt and I behind our back about what we could do better. Come and talk to us. That's the kind of bride the Lord's looking for. People that will love one another. You know what it says, recklessly? We sing that song, Reckless Love. He wants people that will love one another recklessly. But I pray that you would also receive correction. You want to correct me? That's fine. I honestly will bow my knee to that. And so will Matt. Matt is the most humble leader I've ever come across. But we need to be that for one another. Let's not be critics. Let's be friends. Let's be lovers of the Lord's house and build it into something amazing. You know, the Lord's left it to us. You know, that, and I'm not being critical of the prophetic because I love the prophetic. I am a prophetic woman. But sometimes we listen to the prophetic over and over again and we do nothing. We're just waiting for the next thing to come up on Facebook. I mean, it's not the way. It's not the way. It's not where the truth of our walk is. Not listening to someone else's prophetic. I could this day open Facebook, open the internet, and get a million prophetic words. Which one's for me? This is it. Everything is in this. This is the prophetic word over us. This is the word. You know what? We love the prophetic. You're not getting me wrong, are you? I want you to know, be careful what you listen to. You know that? That's what the mother says to Solomon at the start. Be careful who you keep company with, Solomon, because that influences your culture. My culture today, as the mummy here, is will we stand up, kids? Will we stand up, adults? Will we stand up, people of God, and become all that God's called us to be? And you know, this isn't a job description. It's a poem to honor. It's a poem to honor her valor and her virtues in her work, in the community, in her family, where she is. And I just want to close with this, with the person of Ruth. Because Ruth is the other Eshael Shehel woman that's mentioned in Scripture. She's referred as this. Now, Ruth is an unlikely valiant woman, a woman of valor, of strength, of bravery. Because you know what? She wasn't she wasn't Jewish. She was a Moabite. Now, Jewish people in those days, I just want you to hear this because everyone is loved by the king. This woman, she wasn't acceptable in that culture, in that time, because she wasn't one of them. But the Lord loved her and saw her. He saw her attributes, her character, the things that she did. She was a brave woman. And she actually had pretty much not much going for a Ruth except that. Her character mattered. You know, she was probably the least on the outside. And think some of you feel like that. But you know what? Today I want to smash that. You know what? Where you are now, it is totally irrelevant to who you are in there. You know what? It doesn't matter the circumstance of your life, how you were raised, who was your parents. None of that matters because your king sees you as a person of valor, a person of strength, a person with courage and determination. And you know, Ruth was a Moabite, she was childless, she was single, she was dirt poor, she wasn't ever going to be accepted by the Hebrews for all those reasons. She was a divorced woman, her husband died, she was a widow, and she never gave birth to a child, and instead of exchanging fine linens like we hear of the Proverbs 31 woman, Ruth was down on the ground picking up the leftovers to feed her family. And yet, despite looking nothing like what we see with our eyes, she looked nothing like the Eshael Sheel, you know, Proverbs 31 woman. She was considered by God to be this. She is called a woman of valor before she gets married. So for the single ones, I've been single more than I've been married. God thought of me these ways before I was anything. Because that's how he sees you. He sees you as a person of influence when you're in him. And it's not what you do that makes you a person of valor. It's how you do it. Will I say that again? It's not what you do that makes you a person of valor. It's how you do it. You know what? This is the last warning I give, and as I close, if we get ground in our identity as a pastor, as a tradesperson, as a teacher, as a homemaker, as a scientist, as a tradesman, as an administrator, if we ground our identity in these things, we will have little ground on which to stand when all of that gets taken away from us. Because in our character, it's our character that defines us, not the roles that we have. It's not the things that we do that matter. It's who we are on the inside. And when all of that gets taken away from us, who will we be? People of valor, people of strength, people of courage. Proverbs is all to do with behavior and action. It's all to do with behavior and action. And all throughout Proverbs, we've learned this is how you should live. This is how you should behave. The point is, we can live like this. What was this again? The desert. Or we can leave a legacy and live like this. God's calling you into your destiny, into your identity in him. And he celebrates you. And for those of you here that, I'm going to pass over to Pastor Matt now, but those of you that feel, you don't feel the truth of that in your heart, God wants to break through today and say, you are a Sheshael. You are people of strength, people of courage, people of valor. So I'll pray and then I'll. Father, we just praise you and thank you that you are our King, that you are our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is nothing that could separate us from your love. And Lord, we just thank you for that today. And Lord, we just want to rest in your unfailing love. And God, I pray for those that are bound up in hopelessness. Lord, today I pray that you would cut through that with a knife. That, Lord, you would bring, untie the strings, undo the onion layers, God, that you would break chains over people's lives today. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you that you're our King that loves us. Lord, you want to see us in the abundance, in the overflow. You desire for us to be there, to glorify you. And Lord, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to come and rest upon these precious ones today. Lord, I pray that we would be changed. In 2019, Lord, it's an opportunity. Every day is to start afresh. And Lord, we're going to be people that think with the mind of Christ. I pray that over everyone here, that they would believe, they would be people of faith. That they would know who they are and that they would walk out their destiny in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your love.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. Let's give a big hand to my beautiful wife. Just going to ask two things before we close the service today. Firstly, I'm going to